slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
Levi into turn number three.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next big thing is here. Levi Hillier is a 360 winner.
It's showtime.
One car with the front of it that was junk and another car with the back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car and welded up.
The reason why I decided to, you know, move to Sean's number and use it is because the memory of Sean was his V8. And, you know, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Racing, and next thing you know, she's on the flag stand running, the, you know, doing flag and all my quarterback. I'm like, where did you come from?
You definitely have to want it. You know, you can't just say you want it. You got to want it. You got to have that desire that drives you.
I hope they just, like, soak it all in because you don't know when it could be over.
One story. And that is, I was in the stands and I was sitting down and there were some older people sitting next to us. And I just looked at the track and I said, this is absolutely gorgeous. This is a beautiful facility. He says, you think so? And I said, it is. And he says, my name is Jim Raver.
Give Master Gasslers a follow on Twitter and on Facebook. He kind of coined a Skagit Speedway nightcap.
But he would come down and stick his head in the cockpit just before Bob went out and say, no pressure, just win.
Well, welcome into episode 20 of On the Gas, a Skagit Speedway podcast. Blake Anderson, Eric List, and today we're joined by the driver of the 26, Rudine Racing, Levi Hillier. Levi, thank you so much for joining us on this fine Tuesday afternoon. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So first, let's just kind of look back at your 2025 season. You've had a little over a month now when Skagit's been done. I know you went down Race Trophy Cup, but how do you recap 2025 in your point of view?
Yeah, I felt like 2025 was a really good season for us. 2024, we kind of built up, and I got comfortable in the car, and then 2025, we were able to improve. I got way more comfortable. My dad and me started working really good together, and I just I had a lot of fun. We were able to get tons of podiums, a couple of wins, and all in all, it was a really good year.
I feel like it really clicked for you down south. I mean, obviously, you and I talked about your Skagit runs, and your Skagit, you didn't get the win, but your performances were so much better. You stayed in the top 10. Your average finish, you cut in half from 8 to 4. But the wins down south, like, what was it about Cottage Grove and at Elma that you just looked really good every time you were there?
Yeah, we went down to Elma at the beginning of the year, and there was a couple of cars there, Trey, and some really fast cars down there, and we were just able to be fast right off the bat. And I think that was a big thing about our 2025 season. And then the weekend after that, we went down to Cottage Grove and we were able to get another win. So just starting the year off like that, and honestly just going down to those tracks in 2024, we never went down south and tried those tracks out, and to be able to go down there and experience different situations and different things, I felt like clicked really good for our team, and we were able to get a couple wins down there.
When you come into a new track like one of those, what is your learning process to trying to figure it out?
Yeah, I think obviously, I mean, I really go off wheel packing, just kind of going around and pinpointing all my surround points and feeling everything out. And then you can kind of go off there from hot laps and then make changes to the car. And I feel like me and my dad started working really good together, where I can go out and transfer what I learned on the track and come back in and tell him, and we can make big changes from there. But I think just finding all your surround points and just working from that.
How big is it having your dad on your side? It's a unique deal that you're running a car for somebody else, but you get to work with your dad, and your dad was a very accomplished sprint car driver. You know, he's a track champion in all three sprint car divisions here. He traveled on the road with the Outlaws and the NST back in the day. But to go to some of these places that your dad grew up at, how much do you lean on him, even though it's been a while since he's been there?
It's big. I remember last year, first time coming here to Skagit in 2024, my very first race here, just being able to go out and walk the track and kind of just learn from him. He has lots of experience in doing this stuff, and I feel like working with him, he's kind of relearning everything from back in the day. Like that first year, we were just trying to, he was throwing stuff at me, and I'd go out and tell him if it's good or bad, what I'm feeling, and stuff like that. And then we could combine that stuff into getting the car better. It's really cool to have him on my side. I grew up idolizing him and trying to be like him, and to be able to race and kind of have the same driving style that he did, it's really cool. And I'm glad Kevin lets us do it together.
When you went and walked the track together, what was he pointing out? Just different, hey, you want to enter here, do this, do that?
Yeah, mostly stuff like that. There's just kind of tendencies that Skagit has to the way it races and kind of just keeping your momentum up, keeping your board open. And, yeah, it was mostly just like where to enter, stuff like that, how to adjust your driving to how the track is. And, yeah, I mean, it was cool to go out there and do it with him.
What was it like driving at Skagit for the first time? I mean, you grew up a mile down the road from Skagit your whole life. Your dad and your family history here is so deep. You know, you're a third generation Skagit driver. Your dad's a track champion. Your grandpa Bob's a track champion. And that's something that you're starting to knock on the door of, is a track championship here. But what was it like to finally get to drive a sprint car here at Skagit Speedway?
It was really cool. Obviously, I grew up coming here, working on cars, watching races, and to be able to go out on the track and see what it's actually like doing it myself was a really cool experience, and probably something I'll never forget. I mean, from that first hot lap session, you never really feel like how fast it really is. And then you get more and more comfortable and things start to slow down. But no, that first hot lap session was fast for sure.
To get that win last year, that was impressive. I remember texting Kevin Rudine during that race, like, this is when I thought I watched it click for you. It's kind of one of those moments. I mean, you held off Trey, and not only did you hold off Trey, Trey got around you. And you figured out how to get back around him. But what was that like, the emotions of getting a win at Skagit, your first win on such a big night too here with Breast Cancer Awareness Night?
No, it was awesome. That was kind of just one of those nights that played out really good. I think we qualified eighth or so, started second in the heat race, got the win. And that was one of the first nights where we got in the redraw, and I drew a two and just positioned ourselves really good. Kind of got the start going down the front stretch and was able to carry it around through one and two and just kind of lead my own race and run my own race. But, yeah, like you said, Trey kind of got by me there in traffic, and I was able to go back by him and then just pick up that first win. It was huge. My dad was really emotional. My whole family was emotional. I was pumped. It was cool. But, no, it was awesome. It was really cool. Kevin was excited. He called me on the front stretch. It was awesome.
I can remember sitting over in turns 3 and 4 on the concrete, the base of the hill, thinking, when Trey got by you, thinking, okay, Levi, this is a learning opportunity here. Just follow Trey. You know, you're going to run second. That's great. Opportunity to follow one of the best drivers Skagit Speedway has seen and maybe learn some, and you had other plans.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of thinking the same thing there. I followed a lap car going into 1 and 2 and kind of thought I messed myself up there, and I felt like I was only good around the top. Like, I could go to the bottom if I needed to, but we were just so wound up there that I thought the same thing. But no, being able to kind of close the door going into 3 and get the spot back and then have the yellows play my way there was really nice. Mm-hmm.
You've spent so much of your career at Deming and then now finally coming to Skagit, even running still the micro and the sprint car last year. Did it ever get hard going between the two because there is a little bit of different driving style?
No, for sure. You can drive the micros 180 from the sprint car, whatever you learn in the micro, pretty much throw out the door for the sprint car stuff. But that's kind of why I staged away from the micro stuff this year and focused on the sprint car, because I feel like it'd take me a hot lap session or two to get back into it. So obviously, I want to go the sprint car route, so that's kind of why we faded away from Deming this year. And I feel like if I want to go down that path, that's what I'm going to have to do. Yeah. So, it's definitely different. Deming's a completely different track than Skagit, and there's definitely different tendencies from each track.
I've got one more off that for you. So, micros are more the chain-driven. Is there a difference that you've had to overcome going from a train-driven car like the micro to kind of that direct drive in a sprint car?
Yeah, for sure. The sprint car's obviously got the torque ball and all that in there, and that kind of controls the rear end and how the car porpoises. But the micro, it's really like you can drop the throttle, do what you need, and it don't really matter too much. But the sprint car, that's a thing that I learned from 24 to 25, is just not dumping the throttle in the sprint car. Just being way more controlled with the throttle and rolling out of it instead of dumping it. And when it's choppy out, just running a lot of brake just to keep the torque ball from porpoising up and down. I feel like that's things that I've learned with the couple seasons that I had, and it's going to take time to learn from there on out.
The micro Clay Cup win, what was that like? I mean, that was a race that has, throughout your 10 years, not even 10 years of racing, there's been a lot of heartbreak in the micro at Clay Cup, but to finally get that done in the 600, what was that like? I mean, shoot, you look at that 3-week span, and your 3-week span, you won Clay Cup and then come back here and we're pretty fast at 360 Nationals, some tough luck, and then win the following week at your first 360 sprint car win. That was a big month for you.
It was huge. I started racing Clay Cup in 2016 or 2017 when I was 6 years old, and my very first year in junior sprints, I was leading. And we had 5 laps to go, and the fuel cap, like, put an air pocket in the fuel and shut the car off with five to go. So that was a heartbreak my first year, and then came back the next year in 2018, ran second, and then 2019 I feel like it was my year. We had 11 wins that year, just was rolling really good and was leading it two laps to go and the spark plug overheats. So then we have another heartbreak, and then we go into 2020 and I run third my first year in restricted. 2021 I ran sixth or something. Then 22 I finally felt like that was my year, and this time it actually was. We were able to go 14th to first on my prelim night and then start on the pole and lead all 30 laps that they made in that year, and then moved up from opens after 20 or up into the opens after 22, and 2023 my first year ran third, and then like you said, 2024 was just meant to be. We did get on our prelim night, put on the pole, and then just kind of ran my own race that whole thing, and it was very emotional for me. I remember crossing the line and just being very, very emotional. Yeah. My whole family put in a lot to that race, and to be able to finally get one was pretty cool.
That was as emotional as I think I've seen you. And I wasn't there that night, but saw the victory lane interview, and it was like there was some emotion there for sure. That I feel like you don't show a ton of emotion for the most part. You're a lot like your dad, pretty even keeled, and your highs aren't too high and your lows aren't too low. But there was some definite emotion in victory lane that night.
No, absolutely. I remember crossing the line and just starting screaming in my helmet and just like taking my hands off the wheel and waving at people, doing a bunch of stuff. Did donuts and kept it wide open down the backstretch, bouncing off the chip. It was really cool. And like you said, I don't really show too much emotion. So to actually show some emotion and be pumped up, it was awesome.
Where do you rank that win in your career?
Oh, I'd say it's probably number one right now. The 360 win here was awesome too, but just the history that Clay Cup has, I'd say is number one. And growing up, going to Deming when I was 3 years old, and just growing up and watching all the races, seeing all the Clay Cup champions, I'd say it's probably number one.
We've had a lot of different Deming guys on here, and I feel like I'm thinking back to Jesse, and he talked where he felt like kind of Blake Kermit. Car control was one of the biggest things he learned at Deming that then has elevated his way at Skagit. Is that kind of same for you? We feel like Deming's taught you a lot of things that now have benefited really well at Skagit.
Yeah, for sure. Deming's a super technical place, and I feel that if you can race at Deming at a good level and you're fast there, you can race just about anywhere. I feel like that's the way with a lot of tracks out there, and I feel like Deming teaches drivers a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty small track, but you're going really fast around there, so I think if you can race head-to-head with people there, you can just go about anywhere else.
What's one of the biggest things you think you learned from Deming that still applies in a sprint car?
I'd say probably car control, or just knowing what positions you're putting yourself in. Deming's one of those tracks where you come off the bottom, you go all the way to the wall, and if you're trying to get a run on someone on the top, it closes up quick. So if you know how to time your runs and not put yourself in bad positions, I feel like you can learn a lot from Deming Speedway.
After your 2024 Clay Cup win, the year before, you went to, leading into that, you went to Tulsa Shootout and ran, and that was your first shootout experience. And I remember the non-wing car. What was it about the non-wing car? I mean, that's not something we have up here very often. You guys did it once this year at Deming, but watching you at Shootout, the non-wing car was really what clicked for you, I feel like, right out of the gates.
Yeah, I don't really know what clicked there. It was my first time ever being in the non-wing car, and I had a pretty good heat race. I had Blake Hahn in there and kind of just was going for what I could get. I knew it was a Tulsa Shootout, and he had to go, and was able to get going pretty good around the top. And just, I think I went like 6-3 in a heat race. Blake Hahn got back by me on the bottom, and then I feel like if we had a couple more laps, we would have been up there. But I don't know. I feel like we just clicked really good that weekend. We're able to get rolling pretty good in the non-wing stuff.
The non-wing stuff makes your mom very nervous, I guess.
She does not like it, that's for sure.
Would non-wing at Deming this year.
Would she let you do non-wing sprint car? Or is that too far to think?
Oh, I don't know.
Would you want to do it? Would you want to do a non-wing sprint car?
I don't think she'd be overwhelmingly warm to the idea.
Yeah,
of
I don't think so either.
Car.
Like if the wing stuff wasn't working out, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But I'm gonna try and stay on the wing path for now.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, hopefully we can. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity out there anymore, especially in the wing car. I feel like the wing. You look at, you know, if we can look at your future in the next 5 years, I feel like the wing side of things, there's so much opportunity right now, which has got to be enticing as a young kid.
No, it's super cool. I grew up, you know, my dream, my third grade, like, report card, what do you want to be when you grow up, was race car driver, World of Outlaws. And now you got the High Limit Series in there, and I feel like both series as good as they're going to get right now. And the competition's just so stout. Like, we see it here with Trey. We have to race Trey every week, and he goes back to Port Royal for the Tuscarora and runs eighth on the prelim night. So I feel like if you can win at Skagit, you can go out and compete on the top level.
Well, that's one thing Eric and I had talked with Trey mm-hmm. about is I feel like he's really kind of raised the stakes here at Skagit because guys are having to try to figure out how to keep up with Trey. And you look at where the 410s were 2 years ago to where they are now, our 410 field is so much mm-hmm. deeper and so much more competitive. And I think, you know, as we look 6 months in the future, you're going to be adding your name into the mix there, which is going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a learning curve for sure, just to kind of get out of the 360 habits and get into the 410. And I'm looking forward to it. I dreamed of racing 410s when I was little, and to finally be able to do it, it's going to be awesome.
And we were sitting down the other day, John and I were up here, and he asked, when's Levi's birthday? So I told him, he's like, oh, all right, it's going to be game on.
Yeah, no, we're starting to build stuff for the season, so I'm ready for 2026. It's going to be exciting.
So what is your off season kind of looking like now? What are your plans going into 2026?
Yeah, we're kind of at the tear apart stage right now where we're tearing all the stuff down from Trophy Cup. We hurt a car pretty good at Trophy Cup, so we'll have to get that thing fixed. My dad and DJ were working on it, and then we'll probably have Colton Heath from XXX maybe yeah. weld it up a little bit. But just get some cars, get some motors, just prep everything as good as we can so we can have the best results.
That's exciting. You're gonna mean.
Yeah.
I think it still blows my mind, especially when I see you drive, because you're not 16 and you know you're on your permit. And I yeah. see you, there's Levi driving his truck, and then you watch him come out here and drive a 360, and now a 410 here pretty soon. That's got to be pretty darn cool to think about. You know, your classmates at school are talking about they're getting their license, which is super exciting as a 16-year-old. I'm like, you're probably looking forward to turning 16 more for getting your driving a 410 than getting your driver's license.
Yeah, 16 is going to be a huge birthday. I get to come out here and race 410s with everyone, and then I get to go get my license earlier that day too. So yeah. probably drive myself to the racetrack, follow the big blue truck here, and just have a great day. It's gonna be cool on May 6th.
You tell Dad I'll meet you at the racetrack.
Yeah.
Do you have a heavy football driving your street car?
Not really. I feel like I mostly go the speed limit sometimes. My parents have to tell me to slow down time and time again, but I don't really feel like I go exertingly fast, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. I would say you're a pretty responsible driver right now.
Do you drive your street car with 1 foot or two?
I did do two. Okay. Like, and then I went through the driver's school, and they say do one. So I kind of break the habit, but every once in a while I'll get in the truck and I'll start using two again just because racing and growing up like that.
Yeah.
I laugh because it was our Dirt Cup pre-party down at Railroad, and Levi's sitting on the back of JY's car doing his driver's ed, sitting on his phone listening to driver's ed classes.
I forgot about that.
Race party's going on.
Yeah, everyone kept looking at me because I had two AirPods in and I was sitting on my phone. I felt super weird because I'm never like that. I'm always going around talking to people, doing stuff like that. And yeah, I was just sitting there finishing my driver's ed. I had to do a test or something, so I actually had to focus in on that. But then we finished that, and I went and beat Tyler Testemaker and his brother and Justin at Cornhole, so that was cool.
How excited are you to run a 410, mainly just the first time you beat JY? You and JY have a great relationship.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're the shop. You guys share the same shop that Mike Brown owns, and you spend a lot of time up there, and I would say you're as close with JY as about anybody, but now you get to race against JY.
It's going to be cool. I only raced him once when he ran Brock's car at Summer Nationals in 2024, and we never really got a race like that. So to be able to race him a whole season in 410 is going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. There's going to be a lot of smack talking going on in the shop between me, Colton, Mike, and anyone else who comes up there. So especially me and Colton. Me and Colton talk a lot of smack.
Yeah, you get to race Colton a lot. And now you get to race, I mean, Big Mike, too. You'll race him more than ever because he runs a 360 a little bit. Yeah. I feel like if there's a night he's going to miss, it's probably going to be a 360 night. But the 410, Big Mike's at it with the 410. And
yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's when it's going to get tough for K-Man, too. I mean, he's going to – Big Mike's son, for those of you the listeners, K-Man is Big Mike's son, and – You can ask. I think Eric asked K-Man who's his favorite driver.
Yeah,
last year
Waiter, I did.
Without hesitation, Levi Hilliard.
Yeah, I mean, he's my crew chief.
No hesitation.
I feel like whenever he's here at Skagit, I always do better. So he'll be turning the wrenches. Fingers crossed in 2026, and we'll hopefully get a 410 win.
You're gonna have to tell Big Mike like we need K-Man here every week, but it's just gonna have to happen.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So she'll say Big Mike. I would imagine
she did.
Yeah,
yeah, she said Big Mike.
Yep.
Sophie's got her stuff
K-Man
together.
K-Man didn't hesitate,
though. K-Man.
That was Dirt Cup, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We'll have K-Man do – we need to have him do interviews one night.
Yeah. No, that'd be fun.
K-Man's interviews,
Levi. He has a lot of personality,
Eric,
that's for sure.
are priceless. We'll have to tell them, K-Man, you've got you keep the question under under 2 minutes. But they're funny. He's quick-witted. He doesn't miss a beat. He's funny. He's got a lot of big mic in him, that's for sure.
For sure. Him and Champ, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there one driver at Skagit Speedway or a couple drivers that have taught you a lot that are currently racing now?
Trey, for sure. Yeah. 2024, we didn't really know Trey that much, and then we went down to Tulare when he drove the 26 car and kind of was able to hang out with them a lot, and now we park next to each other almost every week. So it's awesome to have him kind of giving me pointers here and there. Like if I go out and qualify and don't qualify good, I'll ask how he felt or stuff like that and tell him what I was doing and see how I can fix it. I mean, it's really cool to have Trey kind of giving me the tips and stuff, and he's an awesome dude.
What's the biggest thing you've taken away from what he taught you, you think?
Probably qualifying here in the 360. Okay. I always, at the beginning of the year, ran a lot of braking qualifying just because I thought it was the right thing to do. Yeah. And then I talked to Trey a little bit, and he was like, I never run braking qualifying. So I was like, sweet, thanks, I appreciate it. And then was able to kind of start qualifying better from there, and eventually at the end of the year, we were able to qualify a little bit better.
And next year, if you do some traveling, I know that, you know, that's may potentially on the table. If you get to Knoxville, that'll be fun. Yeah. To get to maybe race with Jamie a little bit. I mean, that's been a cool connection for me that last year when you went to Nationals, my good friend Jamie Ball that won the track championship at Knoxville last year, I called Jamie and said, hey, I got my family friend Levi Hillier. He's coming to Nationals. You know a spot he can stay. And he's just stay at the shop. And you stayed at Jamie's shop there a couple miles from Knoxville Raceway. I feel like you guys really hit it off.
No, Jamie's an awesome guy. Actually, I texted him early today. He was posting a picture of his daughter Journey, and she was clapping and laughing. I texted him, she has so much personality. But
she does.
No, he was an awesome dude. They opened their shop up not even knowing me, and had tons of hospitality, and I'm glad I made that relationship with them for years to come.
Yeah, and you ended up, you guys stayed, the whole family stayed there this year.
Yeah.
And you put some miles on the scooter. And
yeah, I did. I rode that thing from the shop to Knoxville. It was awesome.
Eric, their shop is 3 miles, 4 miles outside
close.
Of town.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's on a scooter.
That's
a ride.
Like one of those Segway 900.
Yeah. 20 miles an hour up Highway 14, which would be like riding it down 99 here.
Yeah,
I mean,
cars blowing by.
When my buddy, one of my best friends, Austin Rankin, we go out and pick him up because Levi flies back with me. Yeah. Like he goes, hey, we got to get the scooter in the back of the truck.
I had to drop that thing back off of Luke.
But he put some miles on that thing. But I would imagine you guys probably if you head out there, obviously undecided, but if you end up heading out there, I imagine keep the car out at his shop.
Last year he said that we can leave it there, and I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully get to go back there for 360 Nationals and trying to make the main.
I'll just tell you, there's no visits allowed to Austin Rankin in turn one. Let's keep it on all fours and make sure Austin's not running into your car.
Yep.
Tyler Courtney really had a good relationship with Austin, because Tyler made a habit of flipping in turn one, and Austin would be the first one there asking Tyler, how are you? So that's why we give Tyler a hard time. Like, Tyler, you see Austin more in turn one than you'd see him at the trunk bar.
Yeah.
So let's keep it on all fours at least. My blood pressure will be a lot lower. Yeah, Jamie, hopefully he can have a good year this year too. I mean, it was a lot changed this year for him. Obviously, wife, kid, but they had a tough
year.
He battled his arm injury all year, and so hopefully he can get back on the right foot next year. That'd be good. But that'd be a neat opportunity. You get to go run Knoxville with the 360 Nationals and kind of see where you stack up at the sprint car capital of the world.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Would you throw the 410 in after that?
We talked about it. Man, that's a big jump.
All right.
Especially around Knoxville. I feel like the plan, if we do end up going and do it, would just be go see how 360 National goes, and then go from there. And if it goes really good, maybe toss the 410 in. If not, just hang back and help whoever's driving the 26 car.
Fair. I feel like one of the biggest things I remember from watching you this year was the pull shuffle.
Oh, yeah.
And how impressive it was watching you work your way through the field, because it felt like you really didn't change a lot, but no one was really figuring it out. You kept just letting him get through 3 and 4 and then sliding in 1 and 2.
Yeah. No, I about lost that thing in the first round. I left the door wide open going into 3, and me and Aiden Saunders had a really close leash to the line. I think it was like 0.01 or something like that. Honestly, wherever the next person chose the lane, I'd go to the outside or then cross them over down the front stretch. And every single time I went to the bottom of 1 and 2, it didn't matter if they were on the bottom or not. I just was able to get down to the bottom and get runs going into 3. So yeah, that pole shuffle, everything just clicked kind of up until Trey, and then got to Trey and got into the fence, and then about spun out 1-2. But 8th to 3rd in the pole shuffle at Summer Nationals was awesome. It was pretty cool, and to go up against guys like Dom and Bergman and Klatt was in there, and there was a bunch of other guys, Max Mitchery, there's a bunch of guys in there, and to be able to go out and move on past rounds from them was awesome.
Did it surprise you a little bit that the same move kept working time after time?
A little bit. I kind of would just do what they didn't. Yeah. If they slid up, I'd cross them over, I'd circle around them, and kind of just putting my car in positions where they weren't was kind of what was working, so yeah. I just kept doing it.
Yeah, that's what I felt. I was surprised that same but thing. I was waiting for someone crew chief to lean their head in and say, hey, this is what he's doing. After like the third time he did it, I thought, okay, this is 8th to 6th, pretty good. Someone's going to put a stop to this, and nope.
That's what I thought. Like when Trey went out, I was like, I kept going up high and turning underneath him. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, Colin's a smart guy. Yeah. He for sure told Trey just to run the bottom of 1 and 2. And that's why I tried circling around. And then Trey did the same thing and slid up. And I had such a big run that I just got into the wall by myself. No contact at all. But I was thinking the exact same thing as you.
It was me the biggest thing I was going to ask you if you won. I was like, man, it was the same move. And the crew chief went and said, hey,
yeah,
take the bottom away. And it was impressive. It was fun to watch, though.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That was good.
Trophy Cup. Before we went down, you told me your goal was to make the A main, and I feel like you turned some heads. I remember, that B main, that late yellow, I was texting with Jamie, and I was like, oh, man, I can just see it. He goes from 13th to 6th, the final transfer, and a stupid yellow comes with 2 to go, and don't get past. Don't go all the way to the transfer, and you got up on the wheel and said, heck with this, I'll get another spot.
Yeah, well, I was thinking the same thing. I thought I had it in the bag and was rolling around in 6 and just trying to not make mistakes on the big Tulare curb. And that we went down the front stretch and I was able to get, it was the 83 car. Caleb Henry,
okay.
I think.
He was in the 3.
Got by him Carrick. And was able to get into the feature. But that was a really cool experience at Trophy Cup.
Yeah, that event is... I was telling my mom and dad, that's as intense a racing as I think I've seen in a while. I mean, obviously, Knoxville and Eldora, that's a different intensity. Mm-hmm. That's like intensity for absolute perfection, where Tulare is a intense, like, you can't make a mistake. You don't have to be 100% perfect. Can't make a mistake. But also, you've got, cars just all over the place. It's just... I feel like there's no room for breathing.
Yeah, the Tulare curb gets to a point where it's not anything to give. It's like I texted Tyler Tessemaker, and he was saying how the curb's like a parking curb. You can't really bounce off of it. It kind of just shelves up and builds a wall, another wall there. So that place is probably one of the most technical places in the country, and that's what makes it so fun and the racing so good.
Where do you throw a tear off there? That's what I asked some of the guys in the pre-race show. I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah, usually like... If I was pulling tear-offs, I'd go right at the flag stand on the front stretch or the back stretch right before that hump there, kind of just timing my tear-offs. I try to save as many as I can just because I seem to run out quick.
Cool.
Yeah, that
pulled them too easy.
That was an intense racing. I'm excited to get back down there and do it again already. I mean, that was a fun event. If you're listening and you're on the fence at going to Trophy Cup, definitely pull the trigger.
Sure.
It was
fun watching it. Yeah,
it's intense.
Where does your bucket list sit for races you either want to that you want to go and race?
Knoxville Nationals for sure. That's the biggest race in the country.
Yeah, because it's God's country.
God's country. Yeah, exactly. I mess around with Blake all the time and say Oklahoma's God's country, not Iowa. So.
He knows the right answer.
But yeah, Knoxville, Kings Royal, all the crown jewel events. I want to try and get to, and hopefully, if I can win them or. Just go out there and give it a shot. National Open, Tuscarora. There's so many races that I can think of right now, and I just want to get out to all of them and try my best.
Last year, you got to experience the unique weekend of you were on the road with the 17 team, Sheldon Hanshield, and you went from Jacksonville, Illinois, which is a tight, tight quarter mile. I mean, that quarter mile makes Skagit look like a half mile.
Yeah.
And then you went to Eldora, which is obviously... a smaller half mile, but still a half mile. And that had to be a cool experience. It Eldora is so unique to any track I've been to. The sound there is just different in that valley, in the pit area, because you're down below a little bit.
Absolutely. That was a really fun weekend. Went out there with Sheldon, Ripper, and Luke for my birthday, and stayed at the shop with them and just had a lot of fun. We went to Jacksonville, and I think Sheldon ran like six or something, and went to Eldora, and Sheldon picked up a win. So to be able to go out there and help those guys and hang out with them was a blast, and something I'll never forget. Those tracks are awesome for sure.
Yeah, that's a couple of really fun racetracks there. I think Eldora races about as any good as any track in the country right now, and physical. We saw how physical it was this summer. And then Jacksonville is just, you're off the boards, bouncing off the wall. The wall kind of disappears off of four there for a minute, and you're bouncing off the curb that nothing. And then
there's the big tractor tire going into one, and you gotta dodge that. There's a bunch of different factors there.
That's a fun place.
Do you prefer, and this is kind of going back to a setup, but a car that kind of leans more on the left rear, or do you like a car that leans more on a right rear? Because I know that the micros are a little bit different than how a sprint car is, and in your sprint car, do you like one that leans more on the left rear or more on the right rear?
Probably the right rear. I always, half the time here at Skagit, I was saying how our left rear is washing out and the right rear is too far up. And towards the end of the year, when we started to get faster and faster, we started fixing that and making the left rear stand up a little bit more and not wash out so bad. Yeah. So I'd say right rear. It depends where we're at. Like Trophy Cup, I want the right rear as high as we can get it just so I don't get tight on the curb. But place like here at Skagit where it doesn't really build a curb, I like it on the right rear a little bit.
Can you elaborate on what you mean when you're feeling that tire wash out?
Like the left rear, I just feel like it goes underneath the car and picks up the right rear too much, where I guess I'm just loose the whole time, and the right rear's up in the air to a point. But then like at Trophy Cup, I liked it where the left rear was stood up and I was pinned onto the right rear. So that's a different track, different preference type deal.
And those things you probably don't know until you go and see some tracks the first time.
For sure.
Is that something you learned at Trophy Cup last year, your first time going, of kind of dialing in how you wanted the car? I mean, I know that was a big learning experience for you just last year, getting to travel. That was kind of one of the first times you actually got to travel and race. It's like, whoa, we're going to dive into Trophy Cup.
Yeah. No, that was a blast. My first year, we were able to go out and win a heat race and then make one of the nights, or one of the mains one night there. And like even this year, going down there, that first hot lap session, I forget how fast that place is. And the first night, I didn't really feel like I was driving as hard as I needed to into the corner. And having that huge hole there didn't really help either, just because if you drove it in there too hard, you were going to flip. And we saw a couple of guys do that. But then the second night, I feel like we dialed it in pretty good, got the car better, talked to Tyler Testmaker a little bit, and he helped us out. And then the second night, we were able to go out and go quick time and win the B main and get into the main, and then was racing really good in the main and had something unfortunate happen. But no, I feel like each track, the more you can go there and the more you can travel around and learn, the better you're going to be.
That was what blew me away the first time I went there. I mean, when I got there Thursday, is watching Tulare online and seeing Tulare in person is a whole, I haven't seen a place that was so much different than what I expected from watching it online to see it in person. It was so much bigger than what I ever imagined it. Watching you guys race online and then seeing it in person, those straightaways are so much longer than what they look like when you guys are online.
100%. Even going back and watching the film from last weekend, it looks completely different when you're there. Just watching guys qualify there and then watching it on TV, it looks way slower. But the noise, the sounds, the things the cars do, it's awesome to see in person.
Yeah, it was. That place is bigger than I imagined it being. I really figured it was kind of almost Skagit-like, and got there, it was like two drag strips and tight corners.
Yep, 100%. It's like a hairpin.
Mm-hmm. Very Williams Grove turn 3 and 4-esque. 1 and 2, obviously, at the Grove, way different. But 3 and 4, very hairpin.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you had felt like you've raced on comparable
to Tulare?
Yeah.
Not really around here. Tulare is such a unique place. I don't really feel like there's tracks in the country that are like that or race like that. Skagit's more sweeping. It's got wider corners and the straightaways aren't quite as long. And then you got tracks like Cottage Grove that doesn't really compare to anywhere. It's a tight little quarter mile that races super weird. And then Elma is just a big sweeping track that's really fast. And I don't feel like there's really anywhere near here that races quite like Tulare. I feel like that's a unique place that is one of a kind.
Yeah, that's it. Watching it, it was as unique as I've seen a racetrack for sure. Fun place. Yeah, definitely put that on the bucket list. Next year going to be a fun year. I think that you know, we're going to get to see you probably more than ever at Skagit next year, because I would imagine we'll see you running the 410 and the 360 next year.
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm very grateful for the opportunity Kevin and Monica and the Rudin family give me to have this equipment and to be able to go out and race as much as we can, and to be able to probably race at their track the most we've ever been able to and run double duty is going to be a lot of fun. So hopefully get a couple of wins and keep the podiums up.
Mm-hmm.
Your sister races and runs at Deming. What is that like when both of you are there? She's running the junior sprint this year and you're running your open. And what's the dynamic like between the two of you at the track?
It's cool. Me and Justin, JB, we do most of the micro stuff on our own, and my dad helps my sister out. But I always run over to staging right before she goes out for any race and kind of give her a little pep talk, because sometimes she needs it. If you don't tell her what to do right before she goes out, it's kind of hard telling what she's going to do. But no, she's improved so much since her very first season, and it's really fun to see for me as a brother just to watch her grow and get better at racing. So it's fun to see, and I'm glad she enjoys racing as much as me.
As you mentioned, she had a really big season this year. How much fun was that for you to watch?
It was really fun. I think I got upside down more than her this whole last year, and that's not very common for both of us. So to see her go out and get six wins or however many she had and pick up her first track championship was awesome for me to see as a brother, and I'm super proud of her.
It's funny because, you know, off the racetrack when I go over to their house, they bicker like any brother and sister do and give each other a hard time. And then at the racetrack, Savannah gets out on the track and Levi kicks in brother mode, and anytime the yellow comes up, he's up on the fence. I was sitting next to me, Cass, Levi on track championship night, and there was some nerves definitely on track championship
that race,
night.
Man.
Levi was he showed some Cass tendencies on being nervous. Cass gets pretty nervous, and I can't relate to that because I would never get it worked up or anything like that.
Yeah, know? I'm young, but I think I got some gray hair from that race. I was very, very stressed. All she had to do was go out and finish, and I think she bounced off just about everything she could. And people were balling into her. It was crazy. But she did a great job and was able to get the championship.
Like, what did you tell her before that race? What was the pep talk like then?
I don't really remember, but I think I just told her to be smart. That's one of the main things I tell Savannah. Just be smart. Use your head. And she does most of the time, and she did that race too.
Yeah, it was – we're like, just finish, Savannah.
Yeah.
I think she had, she just had to finish that night. Yep. Literally just finished the A main, finished 18th, and she had it. And the start was chaotic.
Yep.
Everything was chaotic. And then it finally settled in. That was a big night. And that was cool. Savannah didn't even realize she won it until she pulled into Tech. And we're like, Savannah, you got the track championship.
That's
and
cool.
She just lit up.
Yeah, she's
like,
all excited.
That was a neat night. I was proud of her. Yeah, the first night she won, that was earlier in the year.
Yeah.
I was pacing, and Levi and Chad are just cool as a cucumber, just watching. And I'm like chewing my fingers
off.
Yeah,
my dad never gets worked up about anything. I don't know how he does it. Like, I will sometimes, but most of the time I'm cool and calm like him, and I could be flipping down the backstretch and he'd still be standing there not even worked up or anything.
Oh, he's...
It's crazy how he does it.
One of the calmest guys I've met, like just even keel. I hardly ever see him get nervous, doesn't really ever get worked up over anything, just take care of business, which I think is a valuable lesson for you as you work down being a professional race car driver. I saw it a lot on the road with the All-Star Circuit of Champions that you could tell guys that the outside noise would get too loud for them and they were too concerned about what other teams were doing. And then I watch a guy, watch Aaron Reitzel come in, and then Tyler Courtney was much of the same, where they didn't care. Like, if something bad happened to them, it was, don't come down to the trailer and complain if we made a call. It was figure out how do we, okay, that happened. How do we bounce back in the B main, or how do we pass cars in the A main, where you'd watch some guys and it was just like, hey, they wanted to come down and complain and worry about it and waste time. So that was... I think a valuable lesson there, and I could see your dad much of the same. When you get back to the trailer or Savannah, if something tough happens, it immediately goes into, hey, get this fixed. We got to figure out how to overcome this.
100%, and that's what I appreciate growing up and racing with him so much when I was younger, is just anytime you come off the track, if it didn't go your way, it was always this quote, move on, you can't change it.
Yep.
That's all it is. You got to forget about it, move on to the next day, and I had a couple bad nights on Speed Week where I was kind of hanging my head on some stuff and was just frustrated, and that was a big thing. It was just being able to leave it behind me and move on to the next day at the next track, and to be able to come up here and have a good run at Summer Nationals, I think was a big show of that.
I mean, that's something that you and I have talked a lot about, especially at Trophy Cup when we talk. Like, you can't let one thing dictate your whole night. Like, if you qualify bad, you got to figure out how do you get overcome that. You can't let qualifying bad bleed into a heat race and have a bad heat race because you qualified bad. And I think you do a nice job of adapting and overcoming.
Yeah, I feel like every time you come off the track, you kind of, even if it doesn't go your way, you got to move on to the next thing. And what can you do the rest of the night? Forgetting about what happened, what you did do, move on to what you can do for the rest of the night and see how you can improve off of that.
You can control what you can control, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Is that your main focus of how you try to get over it? Just do what your dad kind of said and just look at your setup? Because that would be really tough to not, yeah. you know, get down on one part. And I'm sure it's easier said than done to go, oh, forget about it. But how do you, say you go out and qualify really badly, not let that eat you the rest of the night?
Yeah, you kind of go from there and just see where you start in the next, or in the heat race or the main, and see what you have to do. Kind of go to work on the track and get what you can.
Do you take a minute to go, dang, I missed that, and then flush it, or do you just get out of the car and go, missed it, all right, let's focus on?
Usually I take a minute, just process what I did, how I can fix it next time, and then just move on to the thing right after that. Yeah.
Do you think it's easier to flush it sometimes too because you are so hands-on? I mean, I watch you at the race shop. You're very hands-on on everything with the race car. So you think that probably helps it where you can't just go kind of sit and sulk? You immediately, you're working on the race car.
100%. I feel like the racing stuff is it's as much on the driver as it is on the car. And if you don't go do good on the track, you can kind of come in and talk it over. Fix your car, fix your setup, what's going right, what's going wrong, and just fix from there and move on.
How hands-on are you on the car during a night?
During the night, I'm mostly kind of just making the calls with my dad. My dad, me, and Justin and DJ, we all work pretty well together, and we're able to mm-hmm. learn from each other. And during the night, I'm just talking with my dad, changing what we can. But mostly I do all the hands-on stuff during the week. I do quite a bit of the maintenance, and it's kind of what my dad taught me growing up, was just you do the maintenance. It's mm-hmm. your car, you're racing, do the maintenance on it. So I appreciate that part of it, and I feel like it's taught me a lot about what the car's doing and why it's doing it.
Is speaking of DJ, have you ever seen DJ mad?
Never. No,
he's like the nicest human being I think I've ever met.
It's so nice having him around because you could go out and run dead last, and he's still thinking of the positives. Yeah. He's one of those guys who's always looking at the bright side of stuff. And no, I've never seen him mad or in a bad mood. He's an awesome guy. He's super nice. Man, it's awesome having him around.
I've never seen him not smiling, not giving, you know, gives you a hug when you see him, handshake. Yeah. And he just is kind of one of those people that he's just a good guy to have around. And 100%. He's very hands-on. And DJ works full-time for your dad at Hillier Industries. And speaking of, do you weld much? Do you know?
I do a little bit. I mostly just go to school, go home, work on race cars, make sure my homework's done. That's kind of my main three right now. But every once in a while, I'll weld. I have a welding class at school that I do. And if they ever need help down at the truck shop or working on my dad's stuff, I'll go down and help.
You fish, too. Let's not lie. I mean, I got a picture of a salmon last week. So there's some fishing in there, too.
Yeah, there is some fishing in there, too.
What's your best catch?
I don't know. Probably a silver. Okay. I haven't really fished that much just because we're racing so much. But this time of year, I try fishing. Me and Connor Nelson go down into the creek and catch some salmon sometimes. And I got probably a 12-pound silver in there. So there's some pretty good fish down there. Yeah.
You got a good one. What, was a week ago you and Connor went out? Yes. It was probably last Wednesday, Thursday.
Yep.
Connor caught a good one this morning. Yesterday.
He catches a ton. Snapchat. He loves fishing.
He does. DJ goes fishing quite a bit, too.
DJ does, too. Yeah, we like going on the river with him.
Do you catch and release, or do you catch and eat?
I usually catch and release. Okay. Yeah.
I was hoping he was catch and eat when he caught that salmon. I said, all right, I'm on the way for dinner. Lake
was coming over.
Yeah.
No, he didn't. He didn't cook dinner that night. It was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Do you like salmon?
I like salmon. Okay. I'm a super picky eater. Like, I barely eat anything.
Really?
I hate to say it, but I'm pretty much like no vegetables. Like, I'll eat steak, chicken, all that stuff. Yeah. But salmon's just about the only seafood I like. Everything else I don't really have taste buds for.
Deming walking taco.
Deming walking tacos are good. Chicken strip assets, I'm big into those. Those are good.
So what would you say then your favorite food is? Probably a chicken or steak? You think?
I'd say probably steak. Okay. I like a good steak. Me and Blake will probably go get lunch after this. We like Mongolian beef from Asian One. Yeah. That's really good with some rice on the side. That's one of my favorites for sure.
It's solid. They turned me the Hillier family turned me on to that, and that was a good. He gets no vegetables with it though.
Yeah, no vegetables. It's really teriyaki sauce though, please.
Well,
really disappointing. Good. Vegetable rights activist. I learned that from, I learned that from Ross Weiss at the World of Outlaws, because Ross was a vegetable rights activist and Levi's much of the same.
That's good.
First time Ross told me that, I laughed pretty hard, and I use it. Okay, I give him rights fees. I pay the rights fees to Ross Weiss for that. But Ross has got some videos for us.
Oh, does he?
Eric, we'll get some stuff to him. But we're doing a lot of the old video stuff, and now I'm working on some 97 stuff, and there's some Chad Hillier highlights in there.
No, I was watching that the other day, and I texted him because he did not look great. I was asking what was going on, but he said it was his first year in the 360, so I couldn't give him too much crap because I went through that last year too.
But, I mean, you won your first year. I don't know if Chad won. I'd have to look.
Yeah, you need to find that out because I can that hold out. That over.
Yeah, exactly.
You should hold that over if that's the case.
Your dad did get a second at Dirt Cup, though, so you've got to win one.
Yeah, I know. No, that's the plan for sure.
You got some time, though. Plenty of time.
Do you ask him a lot about his time here? Do you guys talk about that a lot, or his racing career as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, quite a bit. We always talk about, I'm kind of on the path that he did. I'm trying to get to a national series and traveling a lot. But yeah, I feel like what he raced at Skagit and what he learned, I can always take and apply to what I'm trying to do out there. So to be able to talk it over with him and see what he had to say and how he can relate it to his old racing is it's pretty cool to do, and I'm glad I have him in my corner to talk to.
I love talking racing with your dad, especially back in the mid-2000s when your dad was really traveling. We were talking about before, like, if there's ever been a bigger time of just change and turnover in sprint car racing. Very tumultuous time was the mid-2000s. There was just a lot. I would read a book. I wish Dave Argabright would write a book about sprint car racing in the World of Outlaws from maybe 1997 to 2010. I mean, on top of the world to multiple ownership changes, and your dad was in part of that. I mean, he went racing with the NST a lot, and that was part of the split, and then ran full-time with the Outlaws. And your dad was telling me at one point when they finished out the Outlaw year, like the last month or two of the season, it was just your dad and your mom.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah, my dad, they started the season, I want to say, with one or two crew guys, and then it went down to one, and then at the end of the year it was just my mom and dad. And that's what I enjoy, like, hearing stories about that. It's just how they did that together, and I'm obviously very grateful for the opportunity I have with Kev, just because I know I'll have crew guys. But to have my mom and dad race in the World of Outlaws series together, it was pretty cool.
Your dad still got the trophy sitting on the, his World of Outlaws points trophy sitting in the mantle at your house.
In the living room,
Speak of emotion, one of the few times I've seen you show quite of emotion was your 14th birthday last year.
Oh,
when
yeah.
When Brent Anderson gave you one of your dad's helmets back.
Yeah, that was really cool. I've been trying to find, like, a bunch of my dad's old suits and helmets and stuff because he gave quite a bit of those away. And Brent Anderson's been a big part of me getting hooked up with Kev, and then he wrapped my very first quarter midget, and then for my 14th birthday he gave me one of my dad's old helmets, so that was really cool. I was pretty excited. I like collecting helmets and doing stuff like that, so to have my dad's helmet from when he ran the Outlaws was a really cool thing.
I forgot that you like collecting helmets. How many do you have in your collection?
I got my dad's, and then I got all of mine, so probably five or six.
Okay.
Five or six, and then I got
my Ball.
I did get Jamie Ball.
Did you get a helmet from Jamie?
Not from Jamie.
Oh,
I need to give him one. I gave him a suit.
You need to get a helmet. Jamie, give him a helmet.
Yeah, I do need
a Jamie
Ball.
I'll text Jamie about that and give a hard time. Yeah, Jamie. Yeah, you gave Jamie a suit.
Yeah.
Because Jamie's got a suit collection in it.
Oh, okay.
Jamie's collection's awesome. I remember the first time I was there, I was just looking at all the suits and helmets.
How many has he got?
It's incredible.
Man. I bet he's got 20 helmets at least.
And probably 20 suits, and he's got crew shirts.
Doesn't he collect, like, race shoes too?
Yeah. Oh, he's just...
He collects anything.
He collects... Their shop is almost like a museum with the
it
stuff
is.
He's
wow.
got
it's
hanging
awesome.
On the wall.
It's so cool.
That's sick.
He scours eBay all the time. And Jamie's found some cool stuff for me because he knows I'm a big JFK nerd. So anytime he sees something on JFK, he'll usually send me the link, or he's bought a couple things, a couple books for me, and cleaning houses out. So, but he'll send me pictures of stuff he finds on the internet of crew shirts. I think some Mark Kinzer crew shirts, some Schaff 23S crew shirts that when Frankie Kerr was kicking butt in that car in the early 90s. He's got some cool stuff. And then suits, I mean, mm-hmm. all sorts of suits, all hanging on the walls in his shop.
Yeah.
What suit did you give him?
I gave him my gray race-ready suit. Oh, okay. It was my first suit with race-ready on it, that Sheldon Hodenshield's brand, his clothing brand, and I gave him that suit, which I won quite a couple races with, so it was cool to give him a suit. He deserves it.
Yeah, that was at Nationals.
Yeah, you this year.
Packed that up, because I remember, well, it was probably the last winter going through the suits. You and your mom were going through the suits trying to decide which one you're going to take.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite helmet in your collection? Would it be your dad or...
Yeah, I like my dad's helmet, but the helmet Sheldon Hodenshield had painted for me in 2022, that one's probably my favorite. I won probably the most races on that one. I won Clay Cup. My first 360 race, I won with that one. There's a ton of races I won with that thing, and to have Sheldon get me a helmet painted and give it to me was a cool experience for sure. Cool.
Was that the white one with the blue race ready on the side?
No, that's the race ready one he had. This one was one that had Hodenshield Racing and Poland Designs did for him.
Oh, okay.
This helmet's really cool looking.
Yeah, Jake Pullen, Jacob does an incredible job. It's awesome. I know the two painted BC's helmets and just incredible work. I mean, it's art, 100% art.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Do you talk racing much with him? Like, what's going on with the car? And I know you talk to Sheldon a lot, but do you talk much about the car and what's happening? Or is it more just kind of life and everyday stuff?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. I'd say I talk most car stuff when I'm there helping him. I just kind of sit back and listen to him and Ripper. There's a lot to learn from those two. They won a ton of races together, and to hear what they have to say about what the car's doing, it amazes me. So that's why I love going out and helping them so much, is just to learn from them. That's a big thing. And yeah, I don't know. I text Sheldon every once in a while. He ran that midget last night at Millbridge for Gravy. So I texted Gravy, and I texted Sheldon earlier in the week and asked how Gravy talked him into running a midget. But he said, I don't know, to be honest. But no, it's cool to have him as a guy to lean on. He's a great guy, and hope for the best in the future.
Gravy is one of the great personalities in dirt track racing, that's for sure. And Gravy, that's who Mike Hess ran for at the Chili Bowl last year, and that's the car that Earl got in when we were doing our pit walk at Chili Bowl last year. So you know that car's heavy duty. Earl was climbing into it. But yeah, that's a neat experience for you. And I mean, is it, you know, when you were just a 10, 11-year-old race fan to – get to know the Hodenshield's pretty cool. Had to be pretty neat. And
yeah, we were down at Rooster Shannon Wheatley's shop, and that was back when the Outlaws ran here in 2021. Yeah, 2021. And Macedo and Sheldon were staying at the shop, and my dad's really close with Rooster and does quite a bit for Shannon. And we were down there, and I want to say I was putting on a nose wing or something, and Sheldon saw me and asked if I wanted to come scrape mud that weekend. So, no, that was cool and helped him that weekend. And then every year they came back to Skagit. Helped them, and then go to Knoxville every year or so and help them there. And like you said earlier, Jacksonville and Eldora. So there's been a ton of races I went and helped them at, and it's been a lot of fun.
Have you graduated from scraping mud?
A little bit, yeah. I mostly keep the thing clean, and I'll do whatever anyone tells me to do. So I feel like if there's a job for me to do, I can do it, and whatever they need me to do, I'll go do it for them.
Are you excited? Is it kind of cool to think that there's a possibility – here in the next couple of years, next year or two, that you would maybe potentially race against Sheldon, which hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about. I remember when I first started hanging out with him and helping him and talking to Sheldon, I never really thought I would get to that point. And now that it's a year or so away, it's kind of in the back of my mind all the time. But hopefully, I mean, that's the plan. That's been my plan growing up the whole time. So if it finally happens, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be neat. I mean, there's a lot of cool things. I think, the last year and a half of your life has been very cool, with everything that's been able to happen. But I think, what's going to happen in the next year and a half to 2 years is going to be even cooler.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe winning aside, but probably we'll tie in anyway. What do you think your best memory is in racing? It doesn't have to be a win, just something that you really look back and like, wow, that was...
Probably just spending time with my family. Growing up, quarter midget racing, we'd just race all the time and go down to WQMA and just run tons of laps down there. And just to do it as a family has been probably the coolest thing to me. And to have my mom and dad by my side the whole time has been awesome for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good answer there too. Yeah. I think that especially, when you get to be my age, you're old, you look back on that with a lot of fond memories. Because at that point, hopefully you'll be, at that point have some big wins under your belt.
Yeah.
That'll be cool to look back on for sure.
Well, Levi, thank you so much. We appreciate this. It's been a lot of fun.
It's a quick hour.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Welcome back, everyone. A good chat there with Levi Hillier. That was fun, Eric.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was fun to hear him talk about, you know, his experiences at Deming and then coming to Skagit and then talking in Trophy Cup just recently. And man, he's a kid with a lot of upside.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. We're lucky to hear the next couple of years. I think I talked about it at Trophy Cup. You look at the talent on the West Coast, young talent, mm-hmm. and talk about Levi and Austin Wood and Jet Barnes, three kids that were running at Trophy Cup. And you know, Jet's 14, Austin and Levi are 15. Those are kids I imagine enjoy them now on the West Coast because mm-hmm. we're not going to have them very long.
Well, we talked about.
Yeah, no.
So we talked about the West Coast talent is getting so much fun to watch.
It is.
Like the pipelines and all the young kids, there's going to be a lot of young West Coast talent coming in the next couple of years.
Yeah, Dirt Cup the next handful of years is going to be really fun. It's going to be exciting. You know, this week is kind of we wind down in 410 Sprint Car mm-hmm. Racing. On another note, I mean, we've got World Finals this week at Charlotte that qualifying kicks off on Wednesday, then racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. When the podcast drops on Thursday, that's when we'll be racing. So. Yeah. It's on Dirt Vision. Make sure to check that out. They've got a really strong field, as always. I think Saturday pays $25,000, which is a lot of money when you factor, you know, you've got the late models there. They're paying big money. The big box or super dirt car big block modifieds are there. So good money, a unique event that I went to for 10 years, and I think I announced it for probably 8 or 9 of those, or all 10 of those years. So that was a lot of fun. That's an event that I hold fondly in my heart that I really enjoyed going to. And
it's a bucket list one I want to get to.
Yeah, if you're a race fan looking to go, if you're just a race fan that you like dirt track racing, you don't care if it's modifieds, late models, big block mods, that's all.
And you're watching some of the best.
Oh, you're watching
modifieds,
the best.
Big block, sprint car, like the best of the best.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's who in late models mm-hmm. is there, the sprint cars and the big block modifieds, like everyone's there, and that's what makes World Finals so unique, and that's what I enjoyed about it because I'm just a race fan. I love modifieds, yeah. I love late models, and I love sprint cars. Sprint cars are. I'll watch a sprint car race any night of the week, but I just enjoy dirt track racing, and that yeah. you get the best of all the worlds, and it's a big crowd, 10,000 people. It gets cold at night for sure, but yeah, I'm excited to watch some World Finals on Dirt Vision this week.
And is the weather good for it? I haven't looked.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Last week was rough for them at the short track. I can't remember what they call that, short track world championships or something like that. They have 400 cars there, and it was rough, but they had a very difficult hand handed to them by Mother Nature. But
it's looking better. Okay.
The talk I've had today, everything looks to be good, and they'll have a good field. I mean, I'm sure there'll be 40, 50 sprint cars there, as usual, and it really winds down. And then, shoot, in a week and a half, I think we have our last 410 race in the U.S. at Babs Motor Speedway. Yeah. I think it's November 15th, I want to say.
That sounds
about
right.
Babs closes up the season, and then before we know it, we'll be down at Volusia kicking off the season. But lots of fun to happen between now and then, and lots of news and notes. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing that we'll be watching this weekend at World Finals that you mentioned last week is guys in new cars.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch. I mean, Tanner Holmes in that 13, Jason Pursley now in KKR.
Baston,
too. There's going to be a lot of fun, and that's where you said it. World Finals is a place where you see some of those changes kind of start to mature and start to happen, and it'll be interesting to see the new talent, or not new talent, but the new talent in different cars, you know, and how well those rides mature for their first time in it.
Before we wrap things up, obviously this week on Monday, High Limit dropped their schedule, their 2026 schedule, which is the second year in a row. Justin Fiedler pointed out on his show Dirt Tracker Daily, which that's a must watch. I love getting all the news. Like I said, I love all the dirt track racing. I love learning about the late models. I obviously cover the late models in the off season a little bit. So keeps you up to date, but he mentioned the second year in a row High Limits dropped their schedule during World Finals week, so little play there, which is fun. I enjoy that, but we'll have High Limit back out here again mm-hmm. next year, so I think it's the third, fourth, fifth,
yeah,
off the top of my head, right in there. So
whatever that Labor Day week.
Yep, right there. And then the interesting thing on there, the Race Redeem Foundation race is going to happen in Montana
mm-hmm.
the week after Dirt Cup.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, it might lead to maybe some High Limit teams out here. It's
get some cars
an easier pull.
Yeah, it makes it an easier. Makes more sense for them to come this way. I would, you know, obviously, against a high-paying race that weekend too, but makes more sense for them mm-hmm. to come out this way for Dirt Cup, which will be fun. Potentially, I imagine we'll see a handful of those guys come that way, trying to get laps for Skagit Nationals, because that plays a pivotal role in their points chase. Is it's three nights of racing mm-hmm. here, three full point nights of racing at Skagit Speedway.
And it's a big payday.
Yeah.
It was the biggest payday on their schedule last year. You want to have laps. And, I mean, someone's got to see if they can dethrone Rico because he's been phenomenal the past 2 years. I don't see a reason he doesn't come in as probably the heavy favorite again this year.
I mean, obviously, I mean, he's changing teams, but not.
Yeah.
So it'll be the same stuff for Rico. And, boy, right now he is on kill when he rolls into Skagit Speedway. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're right. I feel like if he rolls into Dirt Cup, immediate favorite to win Dirt Cup. If in Skagit Nationals, he has to be the betting favorite right now. But
you know the other one thing that I liked about the high limit schedule? Their trips to Minnesota, North Dakota, and kind of more that area, something that hasn't seen a lot of sprint car racing for the National Touring Series in a little while. I think it'll be really fun to see him get back into, right, it's Minnesota, North Dakota, right around in the Dakotas, where they're going.
I-94 gets a race, and they see but one race a year, and Minnesota only sees a couple of National Touring races a year. They get Jackson Motorplex, but North Dakota, they get the Outlaws a couple times. So they have NOSA there.
But it'll be fun to see him go back into that area and just more.
Montana's first 410 race, even 410 race of any kind since 2019. So neat to see them. I mean, obviously, John Youngquist does a phenomenal job with the AFCS Frontier 360 division, but it'd be neat to see 410s get back into Montana. That was always a mainstay back through the 90s as the Outlaws would leave Knoxville and make their way west and stop in Montana on the way to Skagit. So that'll be neat to see that back in play, and it's going to be fun. I think we'll see the Outlaw schedule, the normal PRI drop, and that'll really start to PRI, as we've mentioned several times, kind of iron things out on who's going to be chasing what series, and Volusia time will be here before we know it. Yeah. I love Volusia. Volusia is one of my favorite tracks, so always fun to see the 410s rip around that place.
It is. It's unique.
It is. It's a half mile that races like a quarter mile.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks here. You look at the next probably 3 or 4 weeks, we'll start to really get a clearer picture on who's going where. The USAC Midget Racing hits the West Coast, and that's going to be fun. The USAC Midgets will be at Tulare, which fun. I cannot wait. And then Turkey Night Grand Prix will be fun. Hangtime 100, Kyle Larson joining the promotion group there. We'll see the 2025 NASCAR Cup champion run his midget quite a bit on the West Coast. So that'll be fun as we kind of trend towards Chili Bowl. I don't imagine we'll see Rico at Chili Bowl this year. He made a post a couple of weeks ago, kind of made it seem like that maybe wasn't going to be in the cards for this year. But Kyle, I mean, he's been here the last 2 years. So I kind of feel like we've got him back at Chili Bowl, especially now that he's not running the late model anymore.
Yeah.
We'll see, though. Chili Bowl time just around the corner. Tulsa Shootout. I was looking at entries for Shootout last week as it's kind of one of those events. It's filling up pretty quick. Caleb Hart and I were talking about it. He stopped by my place Tuesday or Wednesday last week. We went to dinner. We were talking about it. I'm like, Chili Bowl I can prepare for.
Yeah.
It's, 400 cars, a lot, but I can prepare for it. Tulsa Shootout?
Good luck.
Where do you start? I mean, you just kind
where of... Do you start just in the juniors and go class by class? Do you start in the opens?
I bounce around. I definitely don't go into it like I do for Shoot or Chili Bowl, where I try to have something on every single driver. Shootout, that's just not possible. But Shootout, we don't have time to tell many stories.
Yeah,
Shootout.
It's bang, 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 bang.
I mean, Levi can attest. It's you go and we're wide open from the time we fire motors at 7:45 in the morning. Once we hit the racetrack and go live at 8 o'clock, it's wide open until 10 or 11 at night. Then you go back to the hotel and get 5 hours of sleep, and we have our 6:30 roll call. And I definitely consume more Red Bull that week than probably the doctor advises, but you got to keep yourself full of caffeine and food.
That doesn't matter.
But that'll be here before you know it. I know that they announced the nights for the Dome for the modifieds and late models, and that's kind of my first event to kick off indoor season. So that's always a fun event, a month away. Yeah, that's a unique, fun event. Mm-hmm. But it'll be a fun off season, Eric. And
it will be.
We'll keep you abreast on the coverings, and we talked to John. We're going to kind of do some maybe unique interviews. I've got one. Maybe have a promoter from back home in Iowa that runs a fun racetrack back home. I'm sure we can get Jerry on the podcast. Jerry will have some stories we'll get Jerry on, because Jerry's got stories. And I mean, I grew up with Jerry. I've known Jerry my entire life. And we've got some fun
stories. Maybe we'll get some Blake Anderson stories.
Yeah, he's got some stories, because when I, 2009, my freshman year of college, I was working at the Ford dealership that was in our family for a while, and Jerry is a service advisor there. And We went racing probably 120 nights that year between announcing at Marshalltown Fridays, Knoxville Saturdays, and Stewart Sundays, and then going to beat the Beaver Buena Vista Raceway on Wednesdays. And
wow.
We were going. Jerry Flags. Jerry promotes at Marshalltown now. He does it all, and he's a unique individual. That's for sure. He's fun. Maybe we get Earl on at some point too.
Oh.
Earl's got some stories too, and Earl's
I think
fun.
For that one I can just sit and let you guys go.
Yeah, you can let
I'll chime in every once in a while, but
let the clown show. Did you get a chance to meet Tyler McKim when he was out here
producing?
Tyler's blood pressure. I think Tyler needs blood pressure pills at shootout.
I bet.
Not as much shootout, but more chili bowl when it comes time for he finally reluctantly says, Earl and Blake, go ahead and do your pit walk, and it's like I think you can visibly see Tyler's blood pressure rise because he's not sure what the clown show is going to get into. You let a couple idiots like Earl and I loose, and
well,
we push the line and we make jokes. And I mean, you guys watched it. Mm-hmm. It's
fun.
Nothing's out of bounds with us. We give each other a hard time for 10 minutes with race fans.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a fun off season. We'll kind of try to keep you covered on the news and notes. There hasn't been a ton that's come out in the past week that we haven't covered already.
Yeah.
Obviously it's World Finals, and the next week or so, I think we'll start to have some, but
yeah,
one of the, also, make sure to keep in touch with our YouTube channel because 2 days a week we're going to drop a throwback race from this year. We're kind of working through 97 now.
Then
we've got some tapes from 1986 that we're going to do next. So starting Thursday, you'll start to see a mix of maybe an 86 dropped in there, but we dropped a 1998 Dirt Cup last week.
That one was fun.
That was fun.
All three nights in that. Yep.
And then we dropped a 1990 in there. We had 94 Thrills and Spills, and then a 1997 race. So those are all on our YouTube channel. We've got shorts. You'll do a short for everyone that is fun to watch. And
there was onboard footage for one that we've got cut up as a short.
So we'll keep in tune with all of our social media. Give it a follow, like, subscribe, do whatever you do on all of our social media channels. But we're hammering away. But that's been fun. That's our fun project, so make sure to keep in touch with us on social media because Tuesdays and Thursdays we'll post one. And Thursday, obviously, is a big day on our social media because that's when our podcast drops.
Yep, exactly. So follow us on all the social medias, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, all at Skagit Speedway, YouTube as well. Other than that, we appreciate Levi coming on. We'll let you guys go and grab lunch, and we'll talk to everyone next week.
Yeah, next week we'll have a fun podcast next week. I'll see if I can maybe we can get J-Van on.
Who?
Jerry Van Sickle.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can get Jerry.
All right.
Because John said, let's talk to different racetracks.
I'm here for it.
Oh, boy. We can buckle up and we can learn what's going on. And Jerry does it all at Marshalltown. I mean, I know this week he was cleaning fryers, so.
All right.
Yeah. All right, Eric.
Well, keep watching out for the Skagit Speedway podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time. Take care, everyone.